All right. Well, you know, actually, I've been preaching on 1 John for a while with breaks in between. And we've now come to the final chapter. It's chapter 5 in the book of 1 John. And I've been calling this book the Book of Assurances. And there's the theme in this is so that you will know. And you see that word know all through this book. And now we're you know, John is wrapping this up. And in this final chapter, he has given us three assuring truths for us. And you know, our enemies, who are our enemies? Okay. Well, the world, the flesh, and the devil, right? Satan, he is the ruler of this world, at least until Christ comes back and sets things straight. But we have Satan, who's the ruler of this world, and we have this world which appeals to our flesh, doesn't it? Things come up when we're tempted, and there's things that go on, and sometimes we don't like what goes on, but the world still influences us anyway, whether we like it or not. And a lot of things go on in our lives because of what goes on in the world, and we are not exempt from the influence of the world or the effects of the world upon us. If government chooses to go to war, it affects us, don't it? Whether we believe in that war or not, it's part of what we have to deal with. And so the world does these things, but in this final chapter, he's given us three assuring truths that should encourage us no matter what is going on in our lives. I would be willing to bet that everyone here has something going on in their life. Something going on that is something they'd rather not have going on. And we can be discouraged. We can be get down. But I'm really pumped for next week, because next week when we continue in First John chapter 5, it's one of my favorite passages in the Bible, and I'm really pumped up for it. But I almost wanted to add it to this one, but there was no way, because you don't want to be here till 1:30. But so I had to break it up. So we got five verses here. We're going to handle the first five verses in 1 John chapter 5. But next week is, like, to me, it's like the hallmark of the whole thing. It's the hallmark of faith. And really, these last three points in 1 John chapter 5, so I've got two more messages after today. I've got today's message, and then next week and the following week, and that will end 1 John chapter 5. But it's about faith, this assurance. The word assurance basically is faith. I mean, if you have faith, you are assured. And our faith in what, though? You know, we sang some songs here, and it's talking about having trusting in God and trusting in His Word. And, you know, how is your faith? How assured are you of the truth that is found in this book? And it's our faith in God. It's our faith in His Word. And today, in the next 2 weeks, it's going to provide a test, really, for us. You know, we were talking about it in the men's Bible study. There was a verse that we were reading in Judges, and it said, like, God did this to test them or something like that. And I made the point that, you know, God, you know, He doesn't test us to see where we're at. You understand that? Some people say, oh, God just tested me to see where I'm at. No, He already knows where you're at. Okay? He's God. Okay? He knows where you're at. When you get a test, He's testing you so that you will know where you're at. Because you know what? We get deceived. We think we're pretty good. We think we got this thing down. And so God brings this little test into our life. And then we find out, ooh, maybe I don't have this as down as I thought I did. See, it's so that we can know where we're at. And really, these next three messages today and the two following, it's a test for us to see where our faith is at. Where is your faith at? How is your faith? You know, we say we believe, but you know what? You do what you believe. And you can say you believe in that chair you're sitting on, but if you didn't really believe it, you wouldn't have sat on it. Now, I got a chair at home. My wife always tells me, sit in here and watch this movie. I'm like, there's no way I'm sitting in that chair. You know, she says, it'll hold you. And I'm like, I don't have that kind of faith. And for good reason. I know how much I weigh. And when I do sit in that chair, it creaks and makes noises. And so I just get right back up. But, you know, that's a very simplistic illustration. But you do what you believe. And I don't believe that chair will hold me, so I don't sit in it. And when it comes to the things of God, you do what you believe. This book is full of truth. And we say we believe it. But what you actually do is what you believe. There's a lot of people that say, I believe that, yeah, you know, forgiveness. Yeah, the Bible talks about forgiveness. I believe in that. Really? Are there some people you haven't forgiven? Are there some people you still hold the grudge? Then you don't really believe that forgiveness is important, or else you'd do it. And we'll get into that. So this next 3 weeks, today and the next 2 weeks, it's a test, really, that John, you know, through the Holy Spirit through John, gives us a little test in three very big areas. I mean, this whole book has been about faith, really, but these are three major areas that would do us well to assess where we're at. And so this one, of course, the title is Assurance of Victory Over the World. Because you know what? The world impacts us every day. It tries to bring us down. It tries to get us to do things we shouldn't do. And the Bible says we can have victory over the world. That's very important to us because guess what? Yeah, we're citizens of heaven, but we live in this world. And we got to deal with it. And it's not always pleasant. It's not always easy. There's a lot of opportunity to give in to the flesh. And so we need to test our faith. We need to see where we're at regarding the world. And that's what today is about. So let's look at these five verses. 1 John chapter 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Messiah has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father also loves the one born of him. This is how we, there's that word, know. This is how we know that we love God's children, when we love God and obey his commands. For this is what love for God is, to keep his commands. Now, his commands are not a burden, because whatever has been born of God conquers the world. There's that conquering the world. This is the victory that has conquered the world, our faith. And who is the one who conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And so we're going to look at these five verses and see what it holds here. First, verse 1, faith produces relationships. Remember, this is about faith. Faith produces relationships. Everyone who believes has faith, okay, that Jesus is the Messiah, has been born of God. So you have a relationship with God because of that faith. Placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ gives you a relationship with God. And then it says, and then everyone who loves the Father also loves the one born of him. Now, who are the ones born of him? It's us. It's you and me. When you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you become part of his family. He adopts you into his family. Amen. And we are what? Born again. We are born again. And so when we have this faith in the Lord, there is going to be this relationship with God, and guess what? This relationship with others. And it says you are going to love them. You're going to love them. Our faith is evidenced by our love for God and our love for His children. You know, we had someone say they just love working with the ladies in that, in the, you know, when we were in the backpack thing yesterday. And that's part of that love. That's part of that, you know, just like to be around you guys and, you know, and build one another up and have fun and accomplish something. And, you know, if, and as an aside, you know, you want a prayer, you know, you really pray that we have a youth leader soon. I mean, there was all these kids came in yesterday. Over 100 kids came in yesterday. And there was this one guy came in, and he had, was it five girls? It was girls. They were all girls, right? One boy, four girls, okay. And he goes, he made this statement. He goes, do you guys have a youth group? My wife and I have been talking, and we need to get our kids in a youth group. And I'm just sitting there dying. I'm just dying listening to this. And, you know, it's an opportunity. And we need to pray about that. I hope you take that seriously. You know, pray for our ministries here. It's part of what we do on Wednesday night, but that's just a huge hole in our ministry here. It is a huge hole in our ministry. And so you may say, I'm not equipped. Well, where's your faith? You do what you believe. Listen, if you knew what I go through every week to stand before you, you better know it's faith. Because it isn't based on my ability, let me tell you that. It's not my ability. I'd have been gone 3 years ago if it was based on what I could do. So anyway, I don't know. I hadn't planned on saying that, but it came out, so there you go. So anyway, our relationships. You know, my heart went out to that guy. You know, he says, I want to get my kids. My heart went out to him. Because, you know, when you have a relationship with God, you care about people. You care about people. Our faith is evidenced by how we respond to that challenge. So faith produces relationships. Faith results in obedience. This is how. He says, oh, everyone's born of God. Everyone who loves the Father loves those born of Him. And then he goes on and says, now this is how we know that we love God's children. It's when we love God and obey His commands. I thought about that. I was thinking, okay, no. Okay, loving His children means I obey His commands. And you know what came to my mind? I was just sitting there thinking this. I was thinking Ten Commandments. You know, if you love one another, you're not going to steal from them. You're not going to covet, you know, what they have. You're not going to lie to them. You're not going to murder them, hopefully. You know, all those commandments. And if you love God, you'll do those other commandments. You know, you won't have idols. You won't take His name in vain. You know, those kind of things. And so it's true. Our obedience verifies our relationship. If you have a relationship with God and you really love God, and He says, if you really love me, you're going to love my children, then you're going to obey the commands, right? The only reason we have laws is because, guess what? We default in the area of not obeying His commands. That's the only reason we have them. And so we got to think about these things. To obey God means to love God, and to love others means you're keeping His commands. He says, if you love me, in another place in John, He says, if you love me, keep my commands. He links obedience with love. And so our faith, if we really have faith, it's going to result in our obedience. Because, you know, sometimes it's hard to obey. Sometimes what He calls us to do goes against our personal preference, our idea of justice, our idea of what is right or how that should be handled. And he says, have faith. And I'll get into that in the next point. Faith makes obedience light. And it doesn't mean light in the sense of a light bulb, but light in the sense of weight. Okay, it makes it light. It's not a burden. Okay, look at verse 3. He says, for this is what love for God is. You know, people that think, you know, well, what is love for God? Does the Bible? Well, he tells you very clearly here, okay? For this is what love for God is, to keep his commands. And he says, now his commands are not a burden. They're not a burden. They're not heavy. They're not heavy. Look what Jesus said. He said, all of you, take up my yoke and learn from me. Because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For what? My yoke is easy, my burden is light. My burden is light. You know, when these things get heavy on us, we make them heavy. We make them heavy. He just said, my burden is light. So if you are weighed down, own it. You're making your burden heavy because his burden's light. We make them heavy when we what? Resist his will. When we resist his will, we place things on ourselves that we aren't supposed to carry. We resist his will when we place our sense of what is right over his. We know that we should forgive. I wrote down a couple of examples. We know that we should forgive. And yet, many times there are people in our life, and we may forgive 80% of the people that need forgiving. I mean, I don't hope you haven't been wrong that many times, but you know, but when we, you know, but we put parameters on it. Well, they're humble and they asked me to forgive them and they're sorry. They've apologized. So I'll forgive them. Well, that is so big of you. That's so big of you. What about the one that will never ask you? What about the one that will never admit they were wrong? And they may have been dead wrong. You may be totally 100% right. But they're never going to ask. And so you're never going to forgive them. Because, see, I'm going to place my sense of who I should forgive, my idea of it, over his. And what did he say? He said, you got to forgive everybody because you know what? I've forgiven you. And I have to come to the realization that I deserve hell. I deserve to go there because I am no good. There is no good in me. Bible says what? There is none good, no, not one. And I deserve the worst, but I have been forgiven. So who am I? I nailed Christ to the cross. Who am I to hold something against Joe over here? What gives me that right? Because I deserve hell. And I am not better than Joe. So we don't forgive that person. And everything they do, it just bugs us. Oh, Joe got a raise. How could that guy get blessed when he did what he did to me? And he's not even sorry. What am I doing? I'm placing a lot of junk on myself that I'm not even supposed to be carrying. Does that make sense? Just let it go. God will deal with them. You know, if they go their whole life and never ask for forgiveness, God will deal with it. It's not your place. You're not the judge. Should I have to humble myself to have reconciliation with somebody? I should. Do I? Not always. But I'm not humble. I'm not going to say I'm sorry to that guy. Because now I'm the one that thinks I'm right. But I know there's a problem between me and him. And there's all this junk happening that I'm having to deal with, that if I would just humble myself and go, you know, we shouldn't be acting this way towards one another. Can't we just work this out? Can't we just forgive and let it go? Because if we don't, we're going to carry stuff we're not supposed to carry, that God never intended us to carry. When we resist his will, we carry a burden that was never intended for us. When we submit to his will, the burden's gone. And you know why the burden's gone? Because the responsibility's on him now. It's not on you trying to work it out. It's not on you trying to make it right. It's on him. You forgive them because the word of God says forgive them, and they continue to be a knucklehead or a jerk to you. That is on them and on God to deal with. You're done. You've done your part. The outcome rests on the Lord. When God asks you to do something, and you know, it's just like any boss. If a boss asks you to do something and you do it and that thing totally flops, you're not at fault. That's on the boss. He's the one that told you to do it, right? Pretty simple. But when the boss tells us to do something and we don't do it and it flops, now you got a burden, don't you? Gee, I wonder what he's going to do. He's going to call me in. Am I going to lose my job? Am I going to get demoted? You know, whatever. We place stuff on ourselves that was never meant to be. But when we obey, and we know the Lord's always going to tell us righteous things to obey. He's not going to tell us to do anything wrong. It may not seem like it'll work, but he's not asking for your opinion. Okay, God, this totally does not make sense. Okay? Bible has a verse for that. It says his ways are higher than your ways. You know? If it doesn't make sense, that's not on you. So he makes our obedience light if we will just simply obey. We make it hard. He does not intend for us to carry the load. He says his yoke is easy. You know what that yoke, it's talking about oxen. And you know what they do? They take a full-grown ox, and then they put the little baby ox, the immature ox, and they yoke them together. And wherever the big one goes, that's where the other one goes. And who's doing all the work? It's the big one. It's not the little one. You know, it's like pushing a lawnmower and you have your little child come up and he wants to help. And so he's got his hands on there. He thinks he's doing it. Who's doing the pushing? You are. That thing wouldn't go anywhere with a little six-year-old, especially in the grass I grew up having to mow in Florida. This stuff was a joke. He wants us to trust him and go the direction he goes. And you know what? The yoke will be light because he does the work. Question is, do you have faith? Do you believe that? Do you have enough faith to walk with him? And you know, what if you were the young ox and you tried to walk your way? So here's the big ox with all the power, and he's going this way, and you're trying to go this way. Now, he's just going to drag you because you aren't anything. And you're going to get really tired, aren't you? Because you're bucking him. And you know what? That's what God does. He's trying to take us a direction, and we keep trying to go this way. And life gets really tired. And it's not meant to be, folks. So, do you believe that? Does he make your obedience light? Well, you believe it if you do it. And sometimes it means what? Being humble. Christ said he was humble. Here's the God of the universe humbling himself to allow people to beat him, mock him, do all those things that we did to him. And eventually, nail him to the cross. And he humbled himself and did that. That's our example, folks. Now, I don't know about you. I mean, there's some people that I don't get along with so well, whatever. They never beat me, mocked me, or nailed me to a cross. So I think I ought to be able to humble myself and just try and make it right. I ought to be able to do that. Boy, is it quiet in here. Faith is the victory. Okay, let's talk about the victory. Verse 4. Because whatever... See, now his commands are not a burden. Why? Because whatever has been born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory. You want to know what the victory is? This is the victory that has conquered the world. Our faith. Our faith. That word, your word may say over, your Bible may say overcomer or overcometh or something like that. My Bible says conqueror. That word, it simply means to subdue, to conquer, to prevail. You will prevail. You will get the victory. That's what that means. You will get the victory. Why? Faith. To have faith is victory. Do you understand that? To have faith is victory. When you placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the victory was won. Amen. It was won. It's over. The world can no longer... The worst thing the world can do to you is kill you and send you to heaven. That's it. Get that perspective. The world can do lots of stuff to us. It can close our colleges. It can, do all these laws that fly in the face of our faith. But in the end, we have the victory. It's all this stuff is... It's just window dressing. It's making them feel good. They're justifying their actions. Man, we got the victory. We ought to live like it. Do I like what, this law about, all this stuff with the colleges? Do I like it? No. We have an opportunity to sign a petition. Fine, I'll sign it. Send it in. Might help. Maybe not. But we actually have a privilege to be able to do stuff like this in this country. So take advantage of it. But you know what? I don't lay awake at night worried about that law or any other law. I don't lay awake at night and worry about it. Because you know what? My faith's in God. Amen. It's not in whether I can change a law or whether I can, create some kind of a system or what. None of that. My faith in God. And he's going to protect me. He's going to protect my family. And like I say, the worst thing you can do is send me to heaven. And that's not a bad alternative. I want to be here as long as God wants me here. And I want to serve him while I'm here. But when that time is up, it's up. Faith is the victory. The world wants your obedience to its agenda. But if you have Jesus, you already have victory over the world through him. Through him. Not of me, not my power, his power. The victory is won, folks. It was won 2,000 years ago on a cross. He paid the price, and he rose again in victory. And from that time on, Satan has been a defeated foe. Now, he still hurts people. He still does stuff. The world still does its thing. Our flesh still tries to go along with it. I mean, that's the battle. But, you know, those are battles. You know, there was battles going on in the Pacific after the Japanese surrendered. There was still, you know, the hierarchy had already, you know, they were on the battleship Missouri or whatever it was. And you know, they surrendered unconditionally. The war was over, but there were still battles going, and people were still dying out there. And it's no different here, folks. The battle was won on the cross, but the battle goes on. Because there's still men and women, boys and girls that need to know the truth, and that battle still takes place. Faith identifies the conqueror. Verse 5. And who? Who is the one who conquers the world? Who is this one? But the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. You see, when you place your faith and trust in him, you have just won because of what Jesus did. Where you place your faith reveals whether or not you are a conqueror. Where you place your faith reveals whether or not you are a conqueror. Think about it. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you have conquered the world. The battle is won. The enemy is defeated. You are identified as a conqueror. Do you realize how many people out there are defeated? Do you realize how many Christians are defeated? And that should not be, folks. The world is hurting. People are hurting. They put on a good face, just like we do in here. We'll come in here and we'll smile and we'll joke and how you doing? Oh, it's all good. It ain't all good. There's pain in this room. But if you're a Christian, you know that pain's only temporary. You know that it's only for a season, and our life is just a vapor. But there's people out there that don't have that hope. And this is, I mean, what they're going through, that is their world. And there are people that are overwhelmed. They're just overwhelmed. I remember one time a waitress came up to the table and, you know, she was acting all, you know, like a waitress, you know, nice and, hey, what can I get you, blah, 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 blah. And we asked her, you know, is there anything we can pray for you? She started crying. And she laid out a whole list of things that's going on in her life. And there's people are hurting and you don't even know it. They're just out there putting up a good front, just like we do sometimes. Just put up a good front. What separates us from them? Faith. That's right. Faith. We have it. So guess what? We are conquerors. They don't have it. So they're overwhelmed. And they got no hope. They just think there's no way out. why do you think we got all these laws, you know, with letting people kill themselves and stuff, you know? Because that's their only way out. They think that's their only way of getting relief. And they're so deceived because I can't even imagine what they must think. Maybe they're in pain from whatever it is, whether it's an emotional pain or a physical pain or whatever it may be. And they really think they're in pain, but if they don't have the Lord and they, you know, Kevorkian their arm or whatever, you know, with a needle, and they close their eyes and then they open up, now they're in pain. Because if they don't have the Lord, they're burning. And can you imagine the shock? Because they thought they were getting out of it, and they really just jumped into it. The Bible says, my people die for lack of knowledge. There are so many people that don't understand what we know and what we take for granted in that faith and trust in Christ grants us eternal life with God forever in heaven. And there are people that just don't get that. We have the answer, folks. It's Jesus Christ. He's the answer. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And this overcoming is not a physical victory, okay? It's a spiritual one. It's a spiritual victory. We have three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And when you place your faith in Christ, all three have been overcome by his power, okay? Our faith, his power. By grace, you are saved through faith, not of works, because you can't boast about what you did. Grace, what's grace? Getting what you don't deserve. So we get eternal life with God forever in heaven through grace. We don't deserve it, but he gives it to us. Why? Through faith. Through believing what God said in his word. For God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him, have faith in him, shall not perish, shall not die, but will have everlasting life. Now, you either believe it or you don't. Believing it is faith. If you don't believe it, you've just set your future. You've set your future in the other direction. It's his power. We as Christians should live victoriously in this world so that others would want to place their faith in Jesus. You know, they're not looking to us for being all victorious when things are going well. What makes an impression is when we have this attitude of service and help and obedience in the midst of when things are not going well. You know, when you can say praise God when everything's falling apart around you, that's what speaks to the world. Because everybody does well when everything's going well. Right? I mean, when there's money in the bank and food in the pantry and all the appliances are working, the kids are halfway behaving for a while, it's all good. Everybody has a good time when that's going on. But when you got stuff going on in your life and it's ugly, but you're still praising God and thanking him, that speaks to people. And we need to live like the battle's been won, folks. That's the bottom line. We live like it's won. That doesn't mean, you know, listen, there are times when we need to cry, okay? There's times when we're sad. There's times when we're upset. God gave us all these emotions so we can deal with these situations. But you can still be sad and upset and whatever and still have a spirit of thankfulness, a spirit of gratitude to the God who saved you. And understand that it's only temporary. It's only for a season. And that's where we have our hope. That's where we have our confidence. That word hope in the Bible, it's not hope like I hope. It's hope like I know it's going to happen. It's this faith that we're talking about today. Are you an overcomer? And what I mean by that is, have you placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Because that's the only way you overcome anything. Apart from Him, you can do nothing. There may be some here today, there may be someone sitting here today that says, you know what, I have never placed my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I've never admitted that I fall short of the glory of God. I've never admitted I'm a sinner. I've never admitted that I need help. There may be someone here like that today. You can have every head bowed, every eye closed. Invitation time. Anybody here to say today, Brother Mike, I haven't overcome the world because I've never placed my faith and trust in the one who did. Anybody like that? I've never asked Jesus to save me. I've never asked Him to forgive me. I've never made Him the Lord of my life. I've never done that. Anybody like that? Just slip your hand up. I just want to pray for you. If there's anybody like that. Okay, far as I know, everyone here is victorious. As far as I know. So I got some questions for you. Who would here today would say, you know what, I know I'm victorious, but there's an area of my life where I'm defeated. Anybody like that? I've been defeated in an area of my life. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. You know, I had my hand up too. I got some battles I fight. And I have to admit, I'm not winning. Let me ask you this. Is there anybody here today who would say, Brother Mike, I'm carrying a burden that God never intended me to carry. I've been doing things my way instead of His way, and it's placed a burden on me that I shouldn't be carrying. Anybody like that? God bless you. God bless you. Give it up to Him. Will you do that? Would you meet Him halfway? You know, the Bible, He says, test me, you know, see if I don't do. If you give, and that's in Malachi, and he's talking about tithing, but I think there's a bigger truth there. If you just give of yourself to Him, He'll show Himself strong on your behalf. He says, where you are weak, that's where He is strong. And will you just let Him have it? Whatever that burden is, you know the truth of the word. You know why you're carrying that burden. Would you just come clean with God or with the person that it has to deal with? And trust God for the outcome. You don't carry that burden. You trust God for the outcome. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray, there are a lot of hands raised today, Lord. I pray we would live victoriously because You have won the battle. May our faith grow. May Your word that we've read today pierce us, that we would see where our faith actually is. And let us take heart, Lord, that You can increase our faith. You can make us stronger. And we can do the things that You ask us to. Heavenly Father, give us the courage to do that. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This time is for you. You deal with God. A lot of hands raised. There should be a lot of prayers going up right now, just asking God to show you what to do. And I pray that you'll listen, and I pray that you'll do it in faith. This is your time as Kathy plays. You deal with the victorious God. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for your scripture, your words, that they are life to us, Lord. And may we take them and apply them to our lives, Lord, in such a way that you are glorified, that your word goes forth, that people's lives are built up and others can be saved. And Lord God, that your church would grow and impact. And Lord God, that you would be glorified. Thank you, Lord, for what you do through your word, through your spirit, through your truth. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.